following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Good morning, Refuge. Pastor Shaddy here, and I have a special guest with us today.
Nathan.
Yeah, it's my son, Nathan, and he has joined us as we're going to have a little Bible study through the book of Genesis. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have your Bibles, please turn to Genesis chapter 16, and we're going to study Abram, which is also called Abraham, and Sarai, who is also called?
Sarah.
Sarah, exactly, and they have a handmaiden named?
Hagar.
Hagar, that's right, you're on it, I love it. Okay, so as you guys know, Abram and Sarah had a problem, right? What is that problem, Nate?
Sarai is barren.
Sarai was barren, right? And if you're barren, what does that mean?
You can't have babies.
You can't have babies. And that was a big deal back then. And God and Sarai were praying to the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do? Like, we have all this stuff. Is it just going to go down to the stranger? Or, you know, like, we want to have a baby. We want to have a baby real bad. And God said, you got it. He takes Abram outside at night. He makes him look to the sky. And he said, can you number the stars in the sky? And Abram's probably like, nope, that's a lot. And God's like, exactly. As many stars as you see, that's how many descendants you're going to have, right? But again, the problem is that Sarai was
barren.
She was barren. That's a problem, right? So years have gone past. Do you remember how many years approximately?
10.
Right. It's about 10 years have passed and Sarai is not yet pregnant. So now she starts to get a little antsy, right? Like we do. We want things to happen on our time. That's what I'm trying to say. On our time. Did I do a good job saying it?
I guess so, yeah.
Thank you very much. And 10 years is a long time to wait. So again, she's like, well, maybe the Lord didn't mean that, you know, I was going to have the baby. Maybe it was through you, Abram, that this was going to happen. And maybe what we need to do is you need to sleep with my handmaiden.
Hagar.
Hagar. I love it. Together you guys could have a baby in my name or in my honor or whatever.
That is so messed up.
It's a little bit messed up indeed. So Abram thinks about it and he's like,
sure,
why not? Which he really should have thought this through a little bit, but he didn't. He ends up taking Hagar. He's sleeping with Hagar. Now, Hagar has absolutely no say in the matter whatsoever. And Hagar ends up getting pregnant. Now, when Hagar gets pregnant, Sarah starts to feel a little threatened.
Jealous. Threatened.
Right. She starts complaining that Hagar is giving me dirty looks, which Hagar very well could have. And I probably would, too, if I was forced to marry somebody I didn't want to marry. So, you know, she's saying that, you know, Hagar is looking at me with contempt. She's complaining to Abraham that she's suffering. Oh, I'm suffering. I'm suffering. And it's all your fault. You know, this is all on you because, hey, why not? And Abram is like, what do you want me to do? Right? She's your servant. You deal with it. You take care of it. Which is not a good response that a husband should do, right?
Like the husband should be caring.
The husband should be caring, right? You don't want to say to your wife, this is not my circus. This is not my monkey, right? You deal with it. No, a husband should jump in and help her out. But Abram doesn't do that. Instead, he leaves it to Sarai. And Sarai is so mad, frustrated, bitter. She starts taking it out. I'm doing a punching thing here. We don't know if she actually punched her, but we know that she made her suffer. She made Hagar suffer to the point where Sarah mistreated her and treated her really nasty to the point where Hagar takes off. She runs away. So Hagar is pregnant and she makes a run for it. And that's where we're going to pick up in Genesis 16, verse 7.
That's really bad.
It is sad. It is sad when people are treated bad.
The fact that she ran, like...
Yeah. But you know what?
What?
God's going to do something cool through it. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. We all know where that is. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she answered. Now let's stop right here because this is really, really cool. The angel of the Lord shows up and he starts speaking to Sarai. Who is the angel of the Lord?
he's a servant or a messenger of the Lord.
So angels are typically messengers. That's true. Angels are typically messengers. But when the angel of the Lord shows up in the Old Testament, he's not a typical angel. He's someone special. Angels are just messengers, which means they have no say. They have no authority. Their job is to deliver a message, right? So like in the book of Revelation, where you have that angel of the Lord showing up and walking John through all these revelations of Christ, John falls down a couple of times and starts to worship the angel. And the angel's like, what are you doing, man? Get up. I'm not worthy to be worshiped. I'm just like you. I'm a servant, right? So angels aren't worthy to be worshiped, but the angel of the Lord is. Angels don't have authority. They don't have the right to make decisions, to make promises, but the angel of the Lord does. The angel of the Lord is actually Jesus in the Old Testament. Right? How cool is that? Hey,
so,
yeah, let's go.
So,
the angel that wrestled with Jacob, Jesus.
But he's not Jesus. He's like in disguise?
He's not in disguise. Actually, Hagar sees a man. She sees Jesus. So it's called a Christophany when Jesus shows up in the Old Testament, and it's really cool. I wish we had more time on it. Maybe a different message, but right now we're going to keep going. So Jesus shows up in the Old Testament, and he shows up while Hagar's running away. And he says, he already knows her. He calls her Hagar, the slave of Sarai, right? So he knows her, but then he still asks, where are you coming from? Where are you going? It's almost like, you know, you're having a bad day. You're flipping out. You're running away. You're really mad. And it's like, whoa, calm down. What happened? I already know what happened. I already know what's going on. But he's asking her still what happened. And she says, what does she say, Nate?
I'm running away from my mistress, Sarah. Mistress Sarah.
Exactly. My mistress, Sarai. And then the angel of the Lord told her, you got to go back. Go back to your mistress, submit to her. And then the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant, right? He knew that she was pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man, which we Middle Eastern men tend to be. Sorry, that's how we roll. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. And she gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. So Jesus didn't introduce himself. He didn't say, I am Jesus. But as he's standing there, she's like, I know who you are. You are El Roy, or you are the God who sees me. For she said, and this is so cool, I have now seen the one, capital O, I have seen the one who sees
me.
Who sees me. I have seen the one who sees me. That is why the well is called Beer Lahai Roy. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born, just like Jesus commanded. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. It's a little on the old side, yes, advanced in age. But that's the miracle. That's the miracle. Jesus met her where she was at. I love that, right? And that's takeaway number one, right? When we are going through
hard times,
difficult seasons, when we feel like cutting and running, Jesus
is always there.
He's always there. He meets us where we are at, right? And she says, you are the God who sees me. I have now seen the one who sees me. Jesus doesn't just go up and meet her, though. He also gives her advice, right? He tells her, go back, right? He tells her what she doesn't necessarily even want to hear, right? If you were in a situation where you were getting abused and people were treating you nasty, would you want to go back?
No, but she has to.
For this situation, for her,
yeah,
Jesus tells her, I want you to go back. And it makes sense. Here she is. She's a foreigner, right? I believe she was an Egyptian.
Yeah.
Pretty sure she was an Egyptian. And here she is. She a foreigner, pregnant, woman, right? How is she going to provide for herself? How is she going to protect herself, right? Jesus is telling her, I want you to go back. I want you to submit to Sarai, which is really hard to do, but I want you to do it anyway. I want you to submit to her, and I want you to live in that house still. And when you do that, number three, Jesus says, I'm going to make you some promises. I will increase your descendants, right? Which is really cool, and it's what she probably wants. But the promise is even cooler than that. It's not that Jesus is promising that she's going to have kids and grandkids and so forth and so forth. There's something a little bit more subtle in there. He says that I, Jesus, will increase your descendants. The promise...
Abraham's.
Well, she's going to have her own descendants. Abraham has his promise. She's going to have her promise. The implication is that Jesus will be with her. He's personally going to do that in her lives. He is going to be with her, and he is going to bless her. And that's what's really cool. So that's why she gets to that place where she gets to call him El Roi, or the God who sees her.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So that's my encouragement to you guys. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is you're facing, I know some of you feel like you want to cut and run, but turn to the God who's there, the God who loves you, and the God who sees you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Bye. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day.